There's that school bell. It's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. Get your Bibles at this time and turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 37 down through verses 42. And you'll want to follow along as we continue these studies of the power in the early church. This is a Sunday school lesson that was written many years ago, that was studied by some of our grandfathers and great-grandfathers. It was written for the Sundays of December the 2nd, 1923, by E.A. Elam. And we bring it back to you again, as risen from the dust of these old shelves, coming out of this book, giving voice again to this grand old preacher as a guest teacher in the Warren County Radio Bible School. If you will turn to Acts chapter 2, while you are doing so, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in studying the power of the early church, we've been talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles on the days of Pentecost, and on that day they were baptized of the Holy Spirit. And being so poured out upon the apostles, the spiritual gifts spread by way of the apostles' hands unto others in the church throughout all of the world at that time. And it was by this means that the Holy Spirit gave us His Word and confirmed His Word and the power of the early church. While there was a miraculous manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the true power lay in the power of the gospel and the power of His Word being preached. And that power continues with us to this day, wherever the gospel is preached. Now let me turn to some of the comments in the Sunday school lesson. The Spirit did for the apostles and for the world all that was promised. No sinners were present when the Spirit came, and none were baptized in it. When the sound was heard, the multitude went in, beheld the fiery tongues, and heard the apostles speak. Though the apostles, or through the apostles, the Spirit bore witness of the life, miracles, suffering, death, resurrection, ascension, and therefore of the Messiahship of Jesus. He pointed out different prophecies of which Jesus was the fulfillment. He then said, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified," Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. This is a command to believe in Christ. Thus, in intelligent language, the Spirit bore witness of Jesus, and He convinced and converted sinners. Thus, He influenced and persuaded them. And thus, by means of these words, He led them. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Here we read, "Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do?" Notice it says, when they heard this, the truth presented to them by the Holy Spirit speaking through the apostles is what they heard. More than once they were requested to listen to what the Spirit had to say. In verse 14, in verse 22, in verse 33, hearing the truth spoken by the Holy Spirit convinced and convicted them of sin. They were pricked in their heart by what the Spirit said, the facts presented. They trembled in their guilt, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? That is, what do we do to escape from the consequences of their crime and in their murder of Jesus? The question shows that they believed what Peter preached, and therefore, in Jesus of Nazareth as the Christ of God and Savior of men. This shows, too, that as Paul states, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, 14 through 17, How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Even as it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things. But they did not all hearken to glad tidings, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now here it is, Romans 10:17. So belief cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. This, according to McGarvey, this is the first time under the reign of Christ that this momentous question was propounded, and the first time, of course, that it received an answer. Whatever may have been the proper answer under any previous dispensation on any previous day of the world's history, the answer given by Peter on this day of Pentecost, the day in which the reign of Christ on earth began, is the true and infallible answer for all such inquiries and in all subsequent time. Here on this day, and at Jerusalem, repentance and remission of sins were first preached in the name of Jesus. Now that's what Jesus said would happen. In Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 48, Jesus said to his apostles, These are my words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their mind, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, that Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Note, in his name. In the name of Jesus. Never before were people commanded to do this in the name of Jesus. The disciples before this had never prayed in Jesus' name. And then in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 we read that Peter said unto them, Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The answer of the Holy Spirit through Peter to this all-important question is simple, plain, and unmistakable. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Convinced that Jesus was the Son of God, the Christ, and the Savior of men, and convicted of their sins against him, they could repent of such sins. Their faith in Jesus led them to this repentance. Those who repented did not cease to believe in Jesus or to trust in God, but their faith was strengthened by their repentance. And by obedience, for faith is made perfect by obedience. Repentance is turning away in godly sorrow from all sin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10 we read, For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto a salvation, a repentance which bringeth no regret, but the sorrow of this world worketh death. Sins of thought, word, and deed, secret sins and known sins. He who repents is ashamed of and sorry for all sins alike, because they're all wrong, and turns from all alike. It does not require a long time for people to repent. These people soon repented. The following is a short Bible reading on repentance, incentives and inducements to repentance are found in these verses. Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 24. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which were done in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, shalt be exalted to heaven? Thou shalt go down to Hades. For if the mighty works had been done in Sodom, which were done in thee, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for me. Now we read in Luke chapter 12 and verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall stand in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Behold, a greater than Jonah is here. We read in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Now there were some present at that very season who told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered and said unto them, Think ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they have suffered these things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all in like manner perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and killed them, think ye that they were offenders above all the men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We read in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance with long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? So there are incentives and inducements to repentance, and that is the incentive of wanting to escape the damnation that is to come, and the inducement of the long suffering and the goodness and the grace of God. Godly sorrow proceeds and works repentance. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10 we read, For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, a repentance which bringeth no regret, but the sorrow of this world worketh death. Repentance is a turning away from sin with a changed purpose, with a determination to serve God. We read in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7, Seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Jehovah, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. In Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10, we see that God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. You see, when man turns, God turns. And so there's inducements to repentance, and godly sorrow precedes repentance. and repentance is a turning away from sin, and a change with a determination to serve God. And a penitent person has a humble and contrite heart.